Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
This is the ZABEcast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. Thank you for downloading. Let's get right to it. The NFL draft is now starting to kick off and spin off a whole bunch of NFL-related stories. Teams are also getting off their ass and signing certain players to deals because they need to know with certainty, do we have this guy or do we not have this guy for the next year, 2, or 3 years? So with that said, let's run through some of the big stories. One of the big headlines on Monday was Brandon Aubrey, the incredible weapon of a leg in Dallas, has now become the highest paid kicker in NFL history, signing a $20 million guaranteed deal over 4 years that'll pay him $7 million per. Signing a bonus of 8.25 that passes Kaimi Fairbairn, who had become the highest annual average salary, the AAV king of kickers at $6.5 million. Harrison Butker of the Chiefs was at the largest guarantee before this at $17 million, but Aubrey is a different breed. He's a different leg. When he bangs him in from 60-plus, doesn't even look like he's trying. It's incredible. Big, tall, long drink of water. Great angles, great leverage, great technique. And the funniest thing was, he's a former soccer player who is sitting at home. Kind of his soccer career had fizzled. His girlfriend's watching a football game, sees the kicker for some team, squib one, and she's like, you could kick better than that guy. And he was like, huh, scritch his chin, maybe I can. And now he's turned into one of the most amazing weapons in the league. And yeah, I know it's just a kicker, and you could say that they overpaid, and that's what Jerry does. He overpays for everybody. Jerry has now made, let's see, Dak Prescott the highest paid guy in the NFL briefly. He made CeeDee Lamb the highest-paid wide receiver briefly. They've got Pickens now for 1 year on the franchise tag. That's going to be expensive. They don't get a long-term deal. Left guard Tyler Smith became the highest-paid interior offensive lineman in history. You know, Jerry pays retail plus. But, man, when you have a kicker that is that good from 60, where – if you try a 60-yarder, you're not sweating it as the offensive team because you're like, well, I know he's got the leg, and most of his balls are really straight, and you play indoors or pseudo-indoors like Dallas for half your games, fuck. I would absolutely splurge to pay to keep Brandon Aubrey as an ultimate weapon down in Dallas. Trent Williams has a new deal with the Niners. This little bit of business that was hanging out there has been mopped up. A little bit of turbulence along the way, but his new deal is an extension of what he was already under contract for. His agents say it'll keep him a Niner for at least 2 more years, $50 million extension that should tie him through the 2027 season. He now becomes, according to his agency, and I get that they're the ones that ran the numbers. Don't quote me on this as fact, but they say that he is now the first non-QB in NFL history to surpass $400 million in total contracts and $225 million in guarantees. Trent Williams is an absolute fucking beast. He was a beast when the Redskins drafted him high, coming out of Oklahoma. He appeared on draft night with a giant diamond necklace of a huge silverback gorilla head. And many of us said, oh, God, please don't blow all your money before you've even made it, Trent. He could afford it, it turns out. He got into a fight with some bouncers at the Pro Bowl in Hawaii and, according to reports, took a Ace of Spades bottle to the head and didn't go down. Look up how big one of those things is. Some bouncer's like, oh, shit. It's an offensive lineman in here who's getting rowdy. We got to put him down. Give me that huge 5-pound champagne bottle you can't even break. Wham! Turned around like, what? Someone just tapped me on the shoulder? Trent Williams also had head cancer, basically, or brain cancer. Kind of ignored it. Didn't get the best medical sort of urgency from the Redskins. Finally got to it by the time it was almost too late. Thankfully, it wasn't. They had to take a huge chunk out of his skull and then picked up right where he left off. Of course, you know, the Redskins got into a tiff with him and they ended up letting him walk out the door. But that's what they did under Dan Snyder. They had great players that didn't even know were that good. And this is the same thing with Kirk. Kirk is one of the highest paid NFL quarterbacks of all time. And I know you're going to say, well, he's just a guy. My point is they had good players in the house and they couldn't wait to agitate them or insult them and let them get out the door. And that's what they have done. Now, what have I said about the NFL all along? It's a television show about quarterbacks. In fact, you could even call it perhaps a game of arms, right? It's been so long since I played the Game of Thrones theme song. Nerd! Hey, Zabe, have you watched any of the new spinoffs? They're really good. Actually, no. And I'm sorry that I haven't. I need to start working through them because I want to. I love the original so much. So, here we are, Game of Quarterbacks. And the first news item is that Jimmy Garoppolo is thinking of retirement. He's 34 and deadly handsome. And he doesn't have to start anymore. He spent the past 2 years backing up Matt Stafford. The Rams wanted to do so again, and he's like, I don't know. Bro, what are you doing? Ride this gravy train till the wheels fall off. Guess he's got enough money. Who knows? Maybe he's afraid he's going to be actually asked to play. And then he's going to be like, ah, shit, I get tackled. People realize I'm not very good. Never give up the clipboard. Are you kidding me? Go talk to Mark Brunell or Chase Daniel, guys who just made mint, ton of money. Ball cap, clipboard, and an upbeat attitude. I'm ready, coach. Who do you need? What do you need? I'm ready, coach. Let's go. We'll see what happens there. I then had to do a Where'd Dem Quarterbacks Go thing because I had forgotten, like, oh, yeah. I know that, you know, Kyler Murray is in Minnesota now, and there was press availability with Justin Jefferson, in which Jefferson said about his other JJ on the team, JJ McCarthy. He said, look, he's going to have to step up. He's going to have to embrace the competition of a great player like Kyler Murray now as the penciled-in QB1. Of course, the Vikings are just one of three teams that I think just know. They know they have signed up for a bad idea at that most crucial position. And they're just going to close their eyes and hope for the best. Because Kyler Murray and J.J. McCarthy's, it's not a winning idea. Arizona, though, said, hold our beer. We're going with Jacoby Brissett and Gardner Minshew. Really? You're not going to try anything else? No, those are our guys. Atlanta is going to go with Michael Penix and his thrice-repaired knee and Tua Jellyhead Tagovailoa. Bad idea. You got Shadur penciled in as the number one in Cleveland for now. Mason Rudolph is penciled in as number one in Pittsburgh, but they're waiting for the ayahuasca kid to announce what he's going to do. Amazing how quiet that non-story has been this year. I guess everyone assumes, well, you know, he made the playoffs. Of course he's going to come back. He's a narcissist. Of course he's going to come back. Remember when he said, when I retire, you won't hear from me? Okay. We'll see if we hear from you this summer there, A.A. Ron. Bo Nix for Denver is coming back off that fractured ankle that happened on the second-to-last play of their game in the AFC Championship game. Championship game? Semis. Daniel Jones is coming off his torn Achilles in Indy. We'll see about Richardson as his noted backup for now. Jackson Dart, the Giants love him. They think they got a guy in Jackson Dart. Year two coming up. He went 4-10 this past year, if you care to know that. And then you've got, you know, some other quarterbacks that have shuffled around a bit around the league. But those are some of the notables right there in terms of who's where and what's what. Time to talk some shirt shaming and some cheapo shaming. Tom Dundon is the new owner of the Portland Trailblazers. And he has already announced in his brief tenure that he is not going to have T-shirts given out to fans for their first and second, and I'm sure probably only playoff games this postseason, as they are due to get swept out on their asses against San Antonio. He's not spending money on T-shirts when every other team in the league always spends on fan T-shirts, colored T-shirts. More on that in a second. He has already said he's not sending his two-way players to the road games. They're not eligible to play unless you make a roster move, and they're supposedly sent on the road to learn and observe up close what the NBA at the highest level in the postseason, when it's the most intense, is all about. I'm not so sure about that. It's cheap. I'll grant you that. It's cheap. But people are ripping Dundon, saying, oh boy, the NBA should have never allowed this guy. Here's where he began his career. He worked in financing at used car dealerships. Oh boy. In the 90s, he co-founded the subprime lender Drive Financial Services, which offered high interest loans to people with higher credit risk. Your job's your credit at General Motors. Go see the general. Get online and save you some time. Go see. Wait, that's insurance. Eastern Motors. At Eastern Motors, Motors. Your job's your credit, credit. The company was acquired by the Spanish company Banco Santander, transforming Drive into Santander Consumer USA. The company has been sued by attorneys general in several states for predatory lending practices. Well, you say predatory lending. Others would say that he's providing liquidity and a chance for people down on their luck who don't have a good credit score, who need a car to get around, to work, a chance to get into one. Sure, the interest rate is 23% or higher. But hey, if you can afford the payment, you can afford the payment. After leaving Santander, Dundon started his own firm, Dundon Capital Partners, bought a 33-story building in downtown Dallas. He also founded Trinity Forest Golf Club in Dallas, and he's been working his way up the ladder. He owns the Carolina Hurricanes. He now owns the Portland Trailblazers. I get it. This all looks cheap. No T-shirts, not sending your two-way players on the road. Part of me says maybe he's just smart to say, I'm not fucking buying T-shirts. We know our team sucks, relatively speaking. They're going to get completely wiped out by the Spurs and Wemby. Wemby, your defensive player of the year, unanimous. I would say just as long as he's alive and playing basketball in the NBA, nobody else should win it until he's old and gray and crippled. Because what he does defensively is literally nightmare fuel. But no, Dundon knows, I'm not spending money on T-shirts. We're here. We're in the playoffs barely. Hey, how about that? We'll be gone in a blink. No T-shirts. And the two-way players? No. We don't need to send them either. But people love to rip on cheap billionaires. He also doesn't want to pay his next coach more than $1.5 million. So there's that. On the T-shirt front, the Spurs, in that first game against Portland, had their Fiesta colors rolling, which includes the most gaudy teal, pink, and brown. It's an assault on my eyes, and it is disgusting to my fashion palette, but apparently a lot of people love it. And then they had t-shirts that striped out the sections in the crowd with the Fiesta colors. And you know what? Not everybody liked that either. Bill Simmons was chastised by his now NBA running mate on his podcast for criticizing the look. I'm going to play the audio here in just a second. Scrolling down. Hold on a second. Hold on. Here it is, right here. Zach Lowe. That is his podcast partner. Very smart NBA guy. Here was Simmons on the Fiesta colors down in San Antonio.
It wasn't surprising. San Antonio won pretty easily. The color coordinated sections, I have some thoughts.
I loved it. You're going to be a Grinch on this?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
What do you want? What do you want? Just one color all the way around?
You've won 5 titles as a franchise. It's not the time for gimmicks. Act like you've been there before.
Every franchise does this, though. They usually just do one color. Is it just the multicolors that's sticking in your craw?
I felt like I was at a parade.
Oh, my God.
They haven't been every section was a different color. It's been 7 years. They won 5 titles. They had Tim Duncan. They had one of the 10 best players of all time. Who is there at the game? Probably wondering why everybody was in a different section wearing a different t-shirt.
Tim Duncan looks amazing now. He's got these medium-length dreadlocks and splashes of gray in his beard. It's phenomenal what Tim Duncan looks like.
I wasn't wondering because they're the Fiesta colors. He was wearing the shirt.
I get the Fiesta.
You're like crazy.
Do you get it, though?
I get it. You don't want to wear the ribbon.
This is one of our championship contenders. I don't know.
You know, the Spurs primaries for years were just silver and black. And I like that silver and black because I'm more of a minimalist. I like those neutral colors. But if you like the Fiesta, you got a lot of the Fiesta in game one. Now, other teams are getting into the t-shirt act, those that have a little bit of budget to spend on this, including the Cavaliers, who have put out a memo saying, we are not blanking around, Cavs fans. Tonight, a stripe out, and we're going to set the standard. Wear the damn shirts. And they got a graphic of blue and burgundy shirts for the Cavaliers. People are now getting shirt shamed in the arena by the Jumbotron guy, where if you show up and you're like, man, this t-shirt doesn't fit really well, and I've got this button-down shirt, I came from work, and I really don't want to wear this thing, they then isolate guys and gals in the stands who are not wearing the shirt. It's like Seinfeld with the, why don't you go to wear the ribbon? You've got to wear the ribbon. How can you not wear the shirt? Wear the damn shirt. But yeah, not everyone's doing it because obviously Tom Dundon thinks it's a waste of money. Okay. Coming up after this short commercial break, which you can avoid altogether if you subscribe for just $5 a month, a return of a favorite bit and some bonus Scott and Solly. You are listening to the Zabecast. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Okay, now a little tip for y'all, all right? Fries are called chips. Chips are called crisps. And bangers aren't great songs. But they do make you feel like dancing because they're so darn tasty.
And then I thought, bangers and mash.
Cheap bangs! Cheap bangs!
Thank you.
Wasted by the wasted.
Thank you. You can't sing. You can't dance. So what do you want me to say?
Try something a little bit more like this.
Banger after banger after banger.
A banger defending of a final.
Oh, yeah. It's back, baby. Your mid-Zabecast banger rejoin. For those of you who know, you know. This was once our most popular segment by a mile, and it spawned an ongoing debate every day as to whether certain songs were or were not bangers. I think this one is an easy yes. In XS, the Australian 80s supergroup, who had their first top 40 hit with this one, The One Thing. It moves, it hits, it grooves, and it has a great music video that got on heavy rotation on MTV of an opulent banquet with beautiful women and the band interspersed, including lead singer Michael Hutchins' girlfriend, then-girlfriend Michelle Bennett. Now, don't go Googling what happened to Michael Hutchins. Actually, go ahead and Google it, because I'd always heard that he died of autoerotic asphyxiation in his hotel room. That was actually urban legend. The coroner ruled the death a suicide by hanging. He used his belt while he was naked and on a lot of drugs, with the automatic door closer in his hotel room. Had been talking about being miserable for a long time. Very sad ending for Michael Hutchins. This song, though, gets me going every time. In excess with The One Thing. All right, good to have that back. I'm going to include that in hopefully every single Zabecast as our mid-show rejoin. And I hope you enjoy it. Now, you might say, well, you already used that one with, you know, you and Butchie. That's already on the big database. We had, I forget what the spreadsheet of songs we had used, because the trick was you couldn't use a song more than once, obviously. So much like Bitcoining, the more Bitcoin you discovered, the harder it was to get the next Bitcoin. And so we were deep into it, a couple thousand deep. But fuck it, I'll start it over again. There's a whole bunch of you that never listened to my show in Milwaukee, don't even know what this is, and are going to now start sending me emails and tweets going, oh, you got to do this one. And I'll be like, yeah, we did that one. And then some of my bangers, because some days I was not prepared, and it came up on me quick. I just grabbed whatever I could, and there were some real duds in there. But then again, those of you who know already know. Speaking of knowing, did you know that Lynn, Murray, and Solly are a podcast? Now with no Tim Murray involved. He's moved on to bigger and better things, VSiN. But Scott Lynn and Steve Solomon do their own podcast. Steve Solomon does his own podcast on top of the Lynn, Murray, Solly podcast, which is available on Patreon. I join them on Monday mornings. And we always have a great time because there's so much content coming out of the weekend. And I'm fresh from, you know, not having yacked all weekend, that it's always a good conversation. So I have secured the rights, and these were very difficult to secure, from Solly, who owns the IP of that podcast. I said, Solly, can I just play a chunk here on the Zabecast? They missed you guys last Friday because you weren't available. I said, I just want to play a 15-minute chunk and tell people the other 30 minutes of this pod is available for a tiny price when you go support them over on Patreon. Lynn Murray Solly Podcast, now with no Murray to muck up the works. Here was our chat this morning on a variety of topics.
Hi, buddy.
Hello. How are we doing?
Look at you, Tesla hat. That's awesome.
Tesla.
Yeah, free Tesla hat from a guy who used to work for Tesla.
Is it, does he know it still looks like an upgraded or an updated sort of uterus logo, or is that like the point? I know it's a T, but it's, you know, it looks like the Dallas Stars Mooterus when they had the uterus with the bull horns. If you look up Mooterus, Mooterus, it was the Stars alt around the turn of the century. And yeah, they had stars and a constellation in a T form, and people called it the Mooterus.
Yeah, I don't know so much about that. All I know is that basically any bright red hat has been fucking ruined by Trump and the Make America Great hats, where it's like, I'm not weighing in plus right. or minus on him or it. I don't need some idiot to throw a rock at me because they see a bright red hat and just something. Like, to me, bright red hats are out. But I'm wearing one right now. I'm pretty sure no one's going to throw a rock at me when I'm not.
So you don't want the Trump was right about everything hat that used to.
Oh, yeah.
I love that hat. That's a funny hat.
Hats that have all the extensive wording
Trump
on it.
Trump was right about everything.
You know, there's
he wears it. He wears the very hat that says Trump was right about everything. I want a hat that says Sally was right about everything, and I wear that.
I don't want hats that call attention to me in any shape or form.
I just send you a Palestine hat. I hope that's okay. You can wear that all over the place.
It's a kiffet.
It's bright red, also, Zabe. So it's bright red and it screams.
Great.
You know,
we will drive all the Jews into the sea. Oh, don't say that.
Bright red is what angers bulls.
So, that's right.
Yes.
Is that a scientific thing, I guess, with bulls? They just see red and don't like it? I wonder why. Right, I don't know.
Let's go see if Grok is awake this morning.
Sure. Why do bulls?
Oh, Grok's always awake.
Red. Yeah, but I'm using up my compute credits on dumb shit, and I'll
don't do that.
Eat it for something, and it'll say you're out of queries. No.
Bulls do not see the color; they just see a rapidly moving object. So a cape can be any color, but it's chosen as red because it's distinctive to an audience, I guess.
Bulls are colorblind, apparently, too, Solly. Yeah. So, like you just said, they, you know, apparently, and again,
know
thank
that.
You, AI.
I guess better or worse? Better or worse, bull? What do you think? Right. Better or worse?
Imagine fitting a bull. For a little, modern eyeglass prescription.
Hold still. Can you sit still, for God's sake?
What's better? Which is better? A
or B?
A or B. A.
Now you're going to feel a little in your eye. That's just for the glaucoma test.
No, I need you to say A or B.
what's the puff test for? That we
glaucoma.
Thank you, glaucoma. You have to give like a bull a glaucoma test. Could you imagine? Just
it's the puff in the eye.
Put your chin on the little thing. You got to put your chin on the thing all the way up closer.
I'm sorry. Your horns are making it impossible to close into the head vise that we have here at the optometrist office.
This is something that Jackass 3, the movie, probably do. I somehow came upon a clip of. In the movie Jackass, they had a teeter-totter, a four-way teeter-totter.
Four-way. I've seen that reel, yes.
And so they had to coordinate to avoid getting hit by the bull, but it didn't last too long because the bull finally figured out, if I just ram one of the arms, one of the metal arms that has these four jackasses on it, it'll knock somebody off, and then these guys are easy plucking one by one. It was amazing.
Zabe, when those things pop up in my FYP for you page,
yep.
I am looking
at it now, Solly.
That's great.
Oh, it's hysterically funny.
The bull's like, oh, my God, there it goes. And he's getting sitting up and sitting down. That's funny. That's a good skit right there until he gores someone.
The whole movie is good skits.
Yeah, like, it's fun. As long as I don't have to do it, it's fun.
Underrated movies ever. That and the original Borat. If you still have a 10-year-old sense of humor, which I do, and Scott does as well, Jackass original, epic.
Oh,
the two of them.
Yeah, Solly reacting. Zabe,
one guy's gone, and now he's getting now the bull's after. Oh my God!
I don't know if this was in the movie or in the series, but it's definitely Jackass or Jackassian. Dudes were underneath of a cornhole board with their nuts at the bottom of the and you have to the people who were playing were lying on their backs with the board over their junk. So if you airmailed
was
a hole,
Was there junk sticking out of the hole, or is it just...
No, it was strategically placed right below the opening. So if your friend got it in, you'd take one straight into the nuts, aided by gravity and this, you know, 1 pound beanbag or whatever they weigh, 10 ounces.
If it hits the board and slides in, it's less of a hit.
Exactly.
It's direct into the cornhole.
Right.
That hurts.
And these two schmucks are doing it, and it's like toss, miss. You could probably punch that one up too. And just to see the guy, and again, you laugh hysterically because it's not you. I would not want to have someone throw a cornhole beanbag at my schwanz. That's not necessary.
I saw a video of a guy who conducted a experiment. I put in air quotes because there's no science behind it. It was me dropping a series of increasingly heavier objects on my toe while holding a harmonica in my mouth experiment. So as the thing started getting more and heavier and sharper and harder, the sounds coming from the harmonica got more and more like erratic and crazy to the point where he was dropping heavy appliances on his foot.
Oh, like that sounds terrible.
And a frying pan. Yeah.
That's not something I'd want to
do. And as I tweeted, I said, you know, 1996, we need to wire the entire classrooms in America with the internet. It's crucial for learning. 2026, the internet. And then I included the video.
Well, every then and now video is I saw someone one Facebook one. It's like drums in the 70s, and someone was just playing in that. And now it's like drummers today, and he's just on his iPhone looking and playing like one cymbal, and that's it.
Because he looped it already, or the producer looped it.
He's just looking at his phone all the time. It was like right up to his phone. That is everyone today, just on the phone all the time. But yes, Jackass, the simplicity of it, and it's... You know, Fear Factor, right? That was the old TV show that Rogan hosted. That
Rogan,
Who can last longest in a bottle? You know, a cage of scorpions before you run out of there, or something like that. That I have no interest in doing that. I have fear of everything and never want to get hurt. So I'm the last person to do any of these things. I stub my toe on a dog gate every day. I don't want to drop a toaster on it,
purposely on it. In Jackass, Steve-O, who was their most crazy stunt guy, he put a giant fish hook through his lip, and he jumped in the water, in the open water, where they had chummed the water for sharks, and he acted like human shark bait. It was the most insane, what are you doing stunt ever. And it was his job to, like, swim back to the boat before he got eaten.
Well, the irony was Ryan Dunn, the guy who died speeding in a car, which is dangerous as well, which you shouldn't do. He's driving, like, 150 miles an hour in some car and died in a crash. All the other things he did in Jackass life to tempt faith, he didn't die. But just driving, don't drive fast is the lesson. Boys and girls, but all that stuff. Some of it, I'm sure, was controlled, and you got to sign a waiver because we can't do this. You might die, but no one ever did doing any stunts. I'm sure the guys got hurt or burned or something like that. But
some of their most dangerous stunts, honestly, were jumping the golf carts. They had this like golf cart demo derby where they're literally jumping them off of ledges and ramps on a golf course.
Yeah, the self-mutilation.
Golf carts are absolute paralysis machines.
Yes.
They roll over.
Ask John Elway's friend, right? It's, you know, you
killed him.
Oh, the agent, yeah.
Yeah. And Johnny Knoxville jumps in a shark tank with bait, and he's fine, right?
I almost killed my good friend Lyle Jackson because he jumped on the back of a cart at night at this course we were staying at in North Carolina. He wasn't holding on. I hit the accelerator, and he fell off backwards, hit his head on the pavement. Luckily, he didn't hit it that hard.
Oh, have they redesigned these at all to be more topple over things or something? Maybe newer ones, but
You can't. The whole point of a golf cart is to be a miniature car, but to be effortless to get into and out of.
And I'm sure there are neighborhoods where people drive around in them.
Well, those are street legal golf carts, which are popular in Florida, many communities, but they require turn signals, headlights, and seatbelts.
Seatbelts, okay. Right.
And they will ticket you if you don't have your seatbelts.
Well, the we have those e-scooters now that are barely regulated, and any child can ride them on anywhere. That's the problem, too. And in our neighborhood, we have kids riding them all the time. And on the listserv, it's always like, someone's going to get killed on one of these scooters. It's like an 8-year-old without a helmet and his friend riding on it. And I'm sure some people have been killed on scooters, and it's going to happen at some point, or at least an accident here. But I don't think there's any regulation, right?
Sorry. I just sent you the link to Steve-O.
Yes, to Steve-O.
Oh.
Yes,
something in
with the sharks.
Okay.
I don't know if I can watch this.
Something that you probably you need a strong stomach for and some nerve for, because it actually happened.
Those guys with that Toro totter on the bull, that bull was trying to kill them.
Sure. I mean, right.
What do they prod them to anger them or something inhumane, probably? You know, or they're just angered because they're in a little cage.
Right. I mean, the chaotic nature of the frantic movement is probably enough to piss them off anyway. Like, you know.
Like that tiger just waited for Roy. It's like, one of these days, I'm going to get you. And he did.
That is a great question about what angers bulls. Do they get angry just when they see something like that in their ring? They're like, hey, this is not supposed to be here. I'm angry.
I think so. They're not generally angry. I remember seeing a bull on the farm in Alabama because they have bulls and cows, and he was seemed pretty happy. He
wasn't. How close did you get?
I mean, there was a fence in between us. I'm not going to stand in there. I'm not getting near a cow either. They could kill you.
Absolutely.
They look docile and fun.
Sure.
Like hippos. They look cute, but they'll kill you. They're very dangerous. And any animal that can kill you might at some point.
Right. Exactly. The might is the key thing. You know, so again, Zabe, not to use up your credit, so I just asked simply, are bulls naturally angry? Bulls are not naturally angry in the human sense. They are just protective, territorial, and easily stressed animals, prey animals, they're called. While intact males...
Wife saying, I'm not angry, I'm just easily stressed.
Exactly, and I'm protective.
Very protective of my protective, children.
I'm protective of not of you not pissing me off. That's what your wife is saying.
All the time. I'm not. I'm just protective, and I'm stressed.
I love this sentence. While intact males have high testosterone levels, causing boldness and potential aggression, their anger is usually a response to fear, isolation, discomfort, or competition. They actually can be quite docile when handled with care.
Hmm.
Who knew? All right, bull petting zoo. Who's with me? Can we go in on one?
Yeah, ooh. Let's do it. I'm in.
No, really shitty.
So, you could even put Nerf balls on the tips of the horns. It would still be too dangerous.
Swing them around.
Just hitting you with their head and the force.
Right. I don't know why they don't. You do need like tennis balls on the end of those things.
Like the bottoms of chairs and the walkers.
Walkers.
So they don't screech the floor.
Right.
You know,
like it slides better.
When your elders do stuff like that.
I've always thought scissors are designed poorly. They should design the ends to not be sharp objects. It's like, don't run around with scissors. Because you're just using the cutting surface to cut.
Well, they make rounded scissors.
Well, they should.
For little kids.
Right, because they're safety ones, yes. But what do adults need, you know?
Well, because it's a tool.
To get scissors.
It's a tool that you then can use multiple ways.
Here they are. Look at these things. Yeah, there they are. Yes, like, this edge
okay,
is sharp.
I want to open a box.
Right. Well, I use a knife for that, but
okay, but if you had scissors that were blunt tipped scissors, you'd get quickly annoyed saying, I'm an adult. I don't need blunt tipped scissors.
Suppose.
I'm not gonna run with them like, hey mom, what are you doing?
I still think they're dangerous. And they should
a lot of things are dangerous.
I guess.
Kitchen knives are dangerous.
No, they are. It could kill them, those things.
The biggest kitchen knives we have, the biggest butcher knives we have, scare the fuck out of me. When I use it to cut, you know, a steak or something, I think, oh, my God, imagine this being plunged into your innards. And they're perfectly legal, and anyone can get one.
I guess the scissors are good for that. In case there's an intruder, I can stab him with these things. I'd be in trouble with the rounded edge one. Although, I don't know. How sharp it would be.
I would say scissors would not stop an intruder. Maybe. Not a committed intruder.
I don't know. Depends how many times you stab him, I guess. I would imagine these would puncture the skin.
How many clean stabs would you get in on an intruder?
Well, I don't know. I would
two?
Know.
Taking a turn.
Yeah, it has taken a turn. But
I would think. Ask Everett McIver. I don't. Scissors can be dangerous, right? Wasn't it
Everett McIver, the Dallas Cowboy lineman who got into a fight with Michael Irvin?
Yeah.
The haircut fight.
He had shears. He had electronic haircut barber shears that he used the sharp edge of to cut his neck, and that's what started the fight, according to what I remember.
Yeah, 1998, yes. Offensive lineman Everett McIver.
That was real. Yeah. That
Dolly, any kid's toy is also really dangerous. You can look back in the annals of Saturday Night Live, and you'll see the great Dan Aykroyd as a guy named Irwin Mainway. He was a toy company executive with slick back hair, and he was just this sort of Chicago type, like the role he played in Tommy Boy. And he comes on, and he was marketing something called Bag of Glass. And Jane Curtin, or maybe it was somebody else at the time, her name will come to me, but she's like, Mr. Mainway, how are you marketing a bag of glass as a toy? He goes, kids love it. They get real creative with it. She's like, it's a bag of glass. It will cut the children. And he's like, no, you're not. You know what? How about this little telephone, Johnny and Jane? And it's like one of those kids' Fisher-Price phones. And he goes, hey, I'm going to make a call to mommy and daddy. And you take it and you go, hey, how you doing? And a gust of wind comes by and he chokes himself with the phone cord. He goes, see, any kid's toy is really, it'll kill them all. It'll kill
them. Well, everything's dangerous. I mean,
using that as an excuse.
In the wrong hands.
It was ridiculous. Candace Bergen was the actress at the time.
She was in SNL. I don't remember.
She appeared as a guest host in the early days. Okay. So yes, and she was friends with all of them. There's a lot of lineage in history. Exactly.
Time to close it out on some non-sports stories and a little bit of feedback. In fact, a lot of feedback of my request for feedback on the Tableside podcast in Vegas, and most of it was very good. In fact, it was all good. There's no such thing as bad feedback as long as it's genuine. You take it all in, you process it, you try not to take it personally, but it was good to hear. You know, and it was all over the place. Some people were like, you know what, Zabe? All I care about is listening to you. I don't give a shit about the quality as long as I can hear you over my mower or hear you with my window rolled down, driving down the road. I just want to hear you. Okay. Others have said, yeah, it was okay. I get it. But the ordering over people talking was very annoying. And that was a mistake by me with the lavalier mics that were all on at the time. And some people didn't care about the chewing. Some people did. Other people said that Armin talked too much. I didn't get the sense sitting down at the table he did. But, you know, Armin gets so excited. He loves Vegas so much. It was hard for him to, you know, not just sit there idly. But anyway, so there's a lot of good feedback, and we'll see how it goes. I think I know how I will do future restaurant-type podcasts. They'll be much more like the, you know, either Steakhouse Confidential or Power Lunch at the Palm. Got a great Power Lunch set up for Friday with a couple of very successful women in the sports media biz. Our friend Carol Maloney is going to be back. She got married again since you last heard her with me. How about that? I can't wait to just put a roll of quarters in that jukebox with Carol and say, how's it going? And Julie Donaldson, now working for Fox 5 in D.C. on television. So we're going to have them sit down with me on Friday at the Palm, and it'll run sometime next week. So that'll be good, and I think I've got a good beat on how now to handle these restaurant-type podcasts. Who here wants to go on a hot air balloon? Ever? Not me. You can have it. Oh, but it's so peaceful and serene and spectacular. Yeah. Unless you crash. Oh, they're not that dangerous. I looked it up. The statistics of crashes of hot air balloons is less than a commuter bus. Don't tell me about no statistics. I've seen the videos. I don't like seeing the videos of balloons crashing. And there was a balloon, not crash, but an emergency landing, which I just like to say it's not an emergency landing. It is a soft crash because there's only one control vector with a balloon. That's altitude. That's how high, how low you're going to go. Everything else is at the mercy of the wind currents. So a balloon from Temecula, California landed in somebody's backyard with 13 idiots. I mean, 13 wonderful people just wanting a nice experience in life in the gondola, I guess what they call it, the basket of the balloon. And the homeowner came out because a neighbor rang his doorbell. He didn't know it had landed in his tiny backyard. Neighbor rang his doorbell and said, "Hey, Phil, check your yard." He goes out back and there's a giant balloon with the gondola firmly on the ground. And 13 idiots smiling where they took a photo. Like a selfie where they're all lined up nice. Yeah, we're here. Well, looks like we crash landed. Get out! Get out of the balloon now. I couldn't believe it. It's like, okay, you survived death. And you're going to sit there for 1 second longer to take a fucking photo? One gust of wind, one thermal upshoot, and all of a sudden you're back in the air again. Only now the balloon is tangled. Only now the gas furnace that flies the thing doesn't work right. Only now you're about 50 feet off the air or off the ground and you're tangled over a power line. And you're saying to yourself, shit, we were on the ground for about 30 seconds and I stood there to take a fucking picture. Anyway, glad everyone is fine. No thanks for me. You can have all the balloon rides you like and you can quote me all the statistics you want about their relative safety. I ain't having it. End of an era at Apple. Big news on Monday. Tim Cook stepping down as CEO on September 1st. Took a $350 billion company from Steve Jobs, who passed away of pancreatic cancer. Oh, on that front, there's been a report just this week in one of the medical journals that says specialized genetic vaccines or genetic therapy, I should say, for pancreatic cancer, which is the absolute final boss of all cancers, lowest survival rate of anything, that they started a trial of this, you know, specific gene-specific immunotherapy for pancreatic cancer, and after 6 years, everybody in the trial was still alive, which has gobsmacked cancer researchers and elated doctors, saying, I'm trying to stay calm here, but it sure does look like we might just have beaten the biggest, baddest cancer around. Now, Jobs had a rare sort of not as bad version of pancreatic cancer, and he chose to try to treat it with homeopathic type remedies, and it did not work out. Stubborn, proud, probably cost him his life. But I digress. So Steve Jobs took a company that was $344 billion through 2011. Here comes Tim Cook, old Cookie, who, you know, I've seen people take shots at him and saying, you know, he's not the visionary that Jobs was. Well, nobody was or ever will be. Jobs was a truly brilliant mind that saw things in a way and saw what people would like well before anyone even could conceive of it. He was also a psycho and a bully and a bad guy and a bad dad. But you know what? He created some amazing shit. So Cook takes over. And now at the end of his run, the company Apple is worth $3.1 trillion, a nearly 1,000% increase over 14 years. Pretty good. And he's getting out now, maybe because Apple is lagging far behind in the AI game. I've read some reports that say, no, Apple is smart. They're not chasing AI, which is extremely expensive. They're letting Google do that. They're letting, you know, Elon Musk do that and Anthropic do that. They're just going to access, they're just going to sort of rent out whatever AI becomes the dominant one. I don't know if I believe that or not, or if Apple should be natively in the AI business. I know that they're, you know, I know that Siri, the voice translation, it's worse than ever when I'm trying to voice text somebody. Way to go, Boomer. Voice texting. Yeah. Okay. It should be flawless, and it's terrible. But under Jobs, they have little milestones of what Macintosh and what Apple did along the way. iMac, Mac OS X, iPod, iTunes, MacBook Pro, iPhone, MacBook Air, App Store, iPad, iCloud. Then Tim Cook takes over. Notable milestones, Mac Pro, Apple Watch, Apple Pay, AirPods, HomePod, M1 chip, AirTag, Apple Vision Pro. We're not going to talk about that, although I hear it's getting better. And now the company is $3.1 trillion. Actually, it's $3.7 trillion, but Tim Cook oversaw $3.1 trillion of that increase, or something close to that. It also corresponds with the European Union passing a law that says that consumers will have a right to repair their cell phones, and that any cell phones now sold in the EU will have to have replaceable batteries, instruction manuals, owner's manuals, and parts that you can replace and repair for up to 10 years after you buy the product. This is a thing that sounds good in theory, but is dumb as shit in reality. First of all, let me backtrack for a second. Apple apparently saw this coming, knew this would be the case, so they bumped up the sort of discharge cycle lifespan of their products from 500 to 1,000. Don't quote me on what these numbers mean, but basically Apple said, okay, we see this is coming. So they made their batteries better because, look, Apple was doing shitty stuff and planning obsolescence and making it so that your battery degraded over time, and that was dirty pool, so you have to buy a new phone. But they quietly bumped it up, so now they've avoided, apparently, the way this rule is written right now, and they're not going to have to, you know, make iPhones that you can crack open and replace batteries. I don't want that because it also kills IP67, which is the, as you know, ingress protection rating. And yes, 6.7, go ahead and joke about that. IP67 explained. Let me get the exact term on this. IP67 means the device is completely dust tight. That's the 6. And protected against water immersion up to 1 meter for 30 minutes. That's the 7. Actually, it's not ingress protection. It's international protection rating. IP67 is a high-level temporary immersion resistance rather than continuous underwater use. You want to give that up just so you can replace your battery or try to use tiny tools to screw in a new motherboard or more RAM to your fucking phone? No thanks. But anyway, we'll see what that does to the phone market in Europe. Love is blind, but it sure can count. Longtime writer and now Atlantic staffer David Brooks, who has been writing on foreign affairs, politics, policy, and more, has come under fire because he has planned to give a love advice talk at Yale University. The lecture is called David Brooks, How to Fall in Love with Someone. Oh, you might say, what's wrong with this? I bet his longtime wife of 30-plus years is going to be there with that. No. David Brooks ditched his wife, got divorced after 27 years, and married his... Wait for it. Wait. What? Did you see this? Yes. He divorced his longtime first wife and married his 22 years junior assistant researcher for his columns and his work, a sprightly-looking, red-headed, lovely, younger woman. Now, 22 years is not what I would call obscene. Brooks is 64. She is 42. But still, people just were roasting him on social media. Where they said, oh, you're going to give a lecture on how to fall in love with someone, huh? Okay. Let's see. While married to a mother of your three kids, hire a young research assistant. Step two, ditch wife. Step three, marry research assistant. Got it. I don't think I need to come to the lecture. Hey, man, maybe it is love. What are you going to do? How do you know the actual state of the marriage? How do you know? Nobody knows. But maybe don't give lectures on it. That's all, you know? Even if it is a reasonable 22 years, it is not obscene. It's not, he's not 80 and she's not 25. And believe me, those two have happened. Last thing, who would have thought that not only did NIL make a lot of men's college basketball players and football players rich as fuck, but it's now going over to the women as well. Audi Crooks is set to become the highest paid women's college basketball player of all time and the third highest paid women's basketball player on the planet, including a couple of WNBA stars. Ms. Crooks formerly played at Iowa State. You may have seen her. She is a large girl. Let's make no mistake about that. Big girl. Soft hands. Touch of a absolute Hollywood hairdresser. Very good shooting the ball. Can back people in because she's so big. I mean, she's a tank, okay? Great offensively. You should see her on defense. Horrible. Can barely move. Half the time doesn't even get past half court because she's got to conserve energy. She's going to make $1.4 million by transferring to Oklahoma State. Now, I know Oklahoma State's men's basketball program is in the shitter. Their football program's not much better. But damn, they're spending money. Looks like T. Boone Pickens' cash is being spread far and wide over there. Good for Audi Crooks, I guess. And I pray for the women's softball team because they want new bats or perhaps some new chest protectors for their catchers. Good luck. Where'd all the money go? Went to Audi Crooks. That's a wrap for me today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Solly and Scott for letting me use a chunk of our visit today on the Lynn Murray Solly podcast. Go subscribe to that and make those guys happy that people are supporting their efforts. Rate and review here to tickle the algorithmic overlords as always. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. I don't see myself upon that list. She said, where'd you wanna go? How much you wanna risk? I'm not looking for somebody with some superhuman gifts, some superhero, some fairy tale bliss, just something I can turn to, somebody I can kiss. I want something just like this. Something just like this. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.